Right, let's get started. Like to call the October 18th of Ways and Means to order. Resolution number 11.
I'll move it to discuss.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay, discussion? Looks like we're still waiting on Councilor Gucci.
He's here. I mean,
I think this is Hotel Motel.
Are we waiting for him on that?
Yeah, I think we could make a motion to postpone. I don't think we're ready on this one yet.
Okay. How many months?
Oh, one month.
I'll move. We'll postpone it. I'll move it.
Second.
Second. Be annoying.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
So carried. Thank you. Can I get a motion to postpone 308?
To block
308, 309, 310.
I'll make a motion. We block 308.
Second. I will second. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Get a motion to postpone for 1 month.
Am I going to have time anymore to talk about it? Or?
Well, we can at the exact. To get the motion, I'll explain.
I'll make a motion to postpone for a month.
Second.
Okay, discussion.
I mean, do we want to talk about it, or are we looking to postpone it again?
We requested a postponement. We're going to take legislators to the individual sites while we continue to negotiate with the different property owners.
Oh, okay. If
you'd like to come, Kenny, I will drive you myself.
When?
Next week.
Right after this meeting.
Right after session.
I'm fine with that.
No. In all seriousness, like, tomorrow I'll take a look at scheduling and make sure that I can kind of set some dates. It's going
to
be a single day. They're all three within a certain, geographic area. So.
I know, we could walk.
And
especially if we could walk over the thruway.
Yeah.
Like Frogger.
Just for the record to state that all legislators will be invited.
Yeah. So I'll get something out circulated. I'll work with the clerk's office and make sure that we can get everyone there. But the full intent, and I've discussed this with others here, is that we'll be ready to vote on something in November and make sure that everyone has that information.
You all going to bring our amateur architect's license and stuff too?
Carry it everywhere I go. All right. Any other discussion? All those in favor, postponement?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Resolution 400, amending the 2022 budget, establishing fund for agricultural crisis relief.
We'll move it to discuss.
Second.
I spoke with both legislators, Nolan and Litz, today. The request is to postpone it for 1 month to work out some details that came up in conversations with department heads. Similar to this one, it's expected that hopefully by next month it'll be moving forward. It's also expected that the funding for the position will be amended out of this resolution and part of the budget discussion. So we're using ARPA funds. So
I'll be postponed until next month.
Second. Okay. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion to block 435 to 436.
Make that motion.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, motion to discuss 435 through 436.
Remove it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. Legislator Walter.
So I will say that I had discussions with Tim and verbally feel like how it's being described, the changes to Main Street program is reflective of what our interest was in that the lead is the municipality, so to speak, in that they would have to approve anything. Should it be an anchor business? Should it be them choosing to do something in their community, sidewalks or whatever? The only concern I have is that we don't have that documented anywhere.
So just to clarify, I think, just to reiterate what I think we've talked about and to look for your guidance, advice, and how you'd like to see it affected here. The notion is to include a requirement for applications to contain a municipal endorsement. So that basically says that in order for a project to even complete an application, they would need to be endorsed by the local municipality in which the project exists. That could either be the municipality endorsing its own project or endorsing an anchor institution in their community that they feel is a worthy project. I think my intent here is that would be included in the evaluation, the kind of process that we would implement as we get the project up and running. So I'm, willing to take whatever your sense, Legislator Walter or others, are on how best to incorporate that. But I think we're clear, completely agree that that's a good step. And, there's no question in my mind that would be included in the review.
Chair Martel.
So, yeah, been multiple conversations about this. At this table, you know, I remember, I'm just, full disclosure, this is not a project at this moment that I'm supportive of. But if it's something that's going to move forward, I want it to be in the strongest means possible. At this table, I heard discussion of more consensus around the municipal component than around the anchor business component.
Right.
That conversation was different in different committees. And so, again, other committees were endorsed it as it's written, which I get. This committee, there was discussion about the municipal component. For me, the concern is that at this stage of the ARPA funding, the fact that we could be giving $2 million to 8 anchor businesses is a concern. But if that's the realm we go, I would want to have the similar kind of conversations that happened in, maybe not the same resolve, but that happened in the CARES 2 discussion in terms of clawback. It's a bigger grant, and other details. But I look forward to seeing whatever you bring to the table in terms of changes, and will remain open-minded.
Okay. Yeah. So, and I appreciate the concerns the chair expressed. You know, from what I'm understanding now, it will only be for one anchor business should a municipality, a mayor, a supervisor strongly feel that that's how they most want to use it. And that what I'm hoping, and this is part of the conversation I had with Tim, is that the supervisors are very clear, like, that they should, and I even asked, like, could you put a list of, you may use this for sidewalks or lighting or parking, so that they're clear. Before you say yes to any anchor business, be sure you don't have a use for it yourself. And then, so that there's that piece, so that if they do have lighting or sidewalk or something, they put it in instead. But also know that should a supervisor say, I've got nothing, which would be shocking that they wouldn't want to do it for their own municipality, but if in that case that happens and they say, you know what, I'm going to go for this one anchor business, that business may not necessarily still win the RFP. And so, but I do feel like, I mean, especially given like where we just went with Resolution 400 of postponing it, because the specifics of it haven't been fully articulated, I would feel more comfortable, you know, whether it's in a resolve or somehow clearly articulated that that's the focus. Not just for our sake, but also like how this gets disseminated in the media or elsewhere, that I want to know that the supervisors and mayors know that first and foremost they should think about how they might want to use that money before offering it to a business. Because I would hope this doesn't just go to 5 businesses.
Deputy Kelly, then Trevor.
Thank you, Chair. To Legislator Walther's point, I would, if it's your purview, but add language on the floor to the resolution amending it, requiring the municipal endorsement being a vote of the board for the project, so you have that in the resolve for the resolution, if that would make sense to you all, that support it.
Well, I don't think we're contemplating, I mean, at least I'm not contemplating moving it tonight, not in the absence of seeing the details, but this is the first I'm hearing that municipalities would only have one application. Like, I never heard that discussed, and I'm not saying that's a bad idea. I just never heard that municipalities could make one application for one project and that they would contemplate whether or not they're endorsing an anchor business or a municipal project. And then my follow-on to that is then it leaves only 8 of our municipalities getting funding, which also doesn't make me comfortable. The aspect of funding the anchor businesses, you know, I think we're moving through the CARES 2, the applications I'm going to be sending to everyone, the one pager, thank you, that Office of Economic Development sent over, and urging members to reach out to the businesses in their community, to their local chambers, to any and everyone that would listen, urging them to apply. The applications don't even open until the 31st, so there's time, and there'll be 2 trainings and 2 question and answer sessions.
But, you know, I think that's also an opportunity for us to learn about need in terms of business need in our communities.
So, with all due respect to the committee's decision on how to proceed, I think this is a very simple adjustment to the resolution language that would add a resolve that just says that no applications will be considered unless they are accompanied by an endorsement from the host municipality. That's the intent here. I think, you know, I'm eager for us to get started on putting the details together, forming the evaluation committee, that as with CARES 2 and as with the not-for-profit program, there's a lot of detail that obviously needs to be ironed out in the implementation of this, but I think that we're all clear on the intent and the overall structure of the program. So I would encourage it to move forward if that's of comfort to the committee.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go. I went twice.
My question is, if a municipality wanted to apply to an application, they don't necessarily have to have an anchor business. What if the municipality?
Right.
So if they want to do a project on their own, they can apply on their own.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's correct.
So the only thing that had occurred to me kind of later and sort of spoke to that point of only 8 in the end getting this when we have 23 municipalities, and I'm curious, like, have you thought about, I obviously, New Paltz has a Main Street, the village of New Paltz. The town of New Paltz doesn't have a Main Street. I you know, using the word Main Street also specifically, I think limits how many municipalities would even see this as something, like, I don't know if, you know, some of our more rural areas would necessarily say, like, where would I do this? So I also would hope that that's very clear. This is not necessarily a Main Street program.
If I might just, I understood and completely agree. The term Main Street is kind of a term of art in relation to this work on commercial corridors or districts. And it's our full intent, just like we would make sure that municipalities, through meeting with the Supervisors Association and outreach to directly to the municipalities, understand that they can use this funding for a project they wish to undertake if they choose to go that route, or could go through a downtown anchor institution. We would also make sure that they understand that, you know, the town of New Paltz has the, you know, South Putt, the Ohioville Corners area, which is a commercial core. If they decided that that's an area that they wanted to apply for, they would certainly be within their right to apply for something like that. And I think all of our towns have those commercial hamlets or commercial districts that would be the subject to this. We would make sure that that's clear to the municipalities.
Frost Valley Road for Denning? No.
It might be a stretch.
Any other discussion? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
So wait, will you give us the specific language for?
It'll be prepared before this goes to the floor.
So just to verify, that passed, correct?
Okay. Tell them to use it to shovel the snow down at the over.
Oh, you know what? I will. 461 adopted a revised fund balance policy has been put before you.
Move for discussion.
Second.
First
discussion.
I don't know if the sponsor wants to speak at all before.
I'm happy to speak on it. I would love to hear what others think. I mean, I think there are the moving pieces that I see here are, number one, figuring out the right mechanism to allocate fund balance, allocate monies from the fund balance in excess of the threshold. So the right mechanism for doing that, I think, is something that is one of the cruxes that we confront with this resolution. I think another is determining the right allocation for housing in general for the year plus ahead, which I realize is something that we could also potentially do through the budget, so I am aware of that. And that might be the way that we, you know, sort out some of the, you know, if we have divergent thinking on that. And then the other component is how detailed do we want to be in planning how the funds are spent, right? Right now it's broad. It's meant to allocate the monies and to allow for the traditional legislative process to access the funds. And then actually there's a fourth thing, which is the other component of the resolution, the other resolved, is the automatic mechanism of dealing with fund balance in excess of the threshold when we close the books at the end of every April. And so I could see the budget component, the initial allocation, and the planning, you know, being addressed in a way where we, you know, come to some compromise and it's addressed a different way. But I do think we should definitely consider the automatic or the adding a mechanism to review the excess fund balance. And I think housing, as long as it's the greatest crisis facing our community, which it will be for the years ahead, that should be something that we, you know, enshrine at least for, you know, the foreseeable future, so that we're always looking at those excess funds that we have and reinvesting that in our community in the areas that they need it most. Because, you know, when the rainy day does come in the future, which I realize it's a phrase that's used to, you know, usher in fiscal conservatism, I will want that rainy day to happen when our residents are housed. I will want them to have a roof over their head. So that is the way that I look at this, and I hope that whatever way we get it done, we get it done, and we get these projects moving.
So I really appreciate my conversations with Legislator Ishtel and the willingness to continue the conversation about this. I do want to have the discussion about the designation as being a discussion that potentially is going to happen as part of the budget. It seems the appropriate way, but it's something I think will work out in the coming month. The other aspect of the legislation is most certainly policy. I'm going to just say I don't see him here, but we really need the Commissioner of Finance at these meetings, yeah. And this kind of
again,
discussion needs to happen with the Commissioner of Finance's input. So hopefully that can happen between now and then, and we can sort of work through the possibilities of how it happens when the books close and think through and then have the discussion about, you know, about moving that piece forward. So I don't want to step on. I think we should postpone. Make a motion to postpone for 1 month.
All
the conversations.
No, I'm good. I was going to say basically the same thing. You know?
If I could just have a minute. I appreciate the intent behind it, but I really believe that this is something that should happen in the budget, and I'm not sure that I'd even be comfortable with an automatic way to, to allocate the fund balance excess, because needs change from year to year, and I would hesitate to just pick one thing or two things or even five things. And, if I were going to spend $20 million tomorrow, I'd probably spend it on EMS, but that's me. I mean, you know, that's one of the crises that we're facing. It's not just one crisis, it's, you know, several crises combined.
Legislator Fabiano? You have
your
hand up?
No.
You're good? I'm sorry.
So, yeah, I mean, not just to echo it, I think one of the benefits of having it in the budget also is that we're ready. Like, there's things we want to spend it on, and that needs to start getting articulated, and I definitely am very supportive of making sure that we have this actual stream of money, whether it's in the housing trust or capital program. I don't know how it's supposed to look, but having that dedicated money, I've always been a little concerned with the fund balance for that future, for the same reason, especially because I know there's all these conversations about how to make sure that it doesn't ever get so high. And so I would actually want to make sure that it's something that we know, until everyone's housed well, that we regularly have some solid, that it's a part of our budget. It's also being a part of our budget, even more so than this policy, makes it a part of our policy, because our budget is our policy of how we want to take care of our constituents. So I'm very supportive of it being there too.
So to speak to some of the last few points that were made, I think that, so what I'm doing here is, I realize, cutting against the grain of the way that we typically approach spending when we have, I mean, this is an uncommon scenario where we have this much of an excess in the fund, in the fund balance. If my goal is to change the paradigm in the way that we invest in our community and to provide a framework that we can use to actually move resources into position, I appreciate how significant it is that we're able to invest capital, like raw currency that we collect, and to have it yield a high return. But the highest return that we can yield in from monies that we have is not sitting in a bank account, but it is actually to invest it in our community and to invest it in services, in housing, in EMS, which I completely agree with, by the way. And so if this has the effect of changing the way that we think about that excess fund balance when the books are closed out at the end of every April, I would be open to changing the resolve so that we're actually getting, that the main point of this legislation becomes changing the fund balance policy so that we actually compel a proposal from the county executive, from the executive branch of government every summer on how those monies are spent. And it could be, I'm asking for 25% to be spent on housing. We could ask for their resolution that they present to us to be 100% of the excess funds of the fund balance, and they can break it down however they like. And that is an opportunity for the executive branch of government to say, this is, you know, this is our policy, these are the policy goals that we're meeting and how we're meeting them with fund balance excess, and the legislative branch of government to weigh in, and we can make changes, we can appropriate it in the way that's appropriate for our branch of government. So that way we are actually getting a plan rather than what I'm seeing today, which is kind of been exposed by this resolution, that there's a little bit there's been some growth in thinking about the way that fund balance excesses are allocated at the end of the year. Because remember, the books aren't closed at the end of the year, they're closed at the end of April. And so this would give us an opportunity to have that proactive mid-year approach to actually allocating things very, very directly, and would give us a head start in spending some of these monies rather than waiting for the calendar year, which is different than the fiscal year. And I appreciate the money accrues interest in the bank, but that is not the best place for it. The best place for it is putting roofs over the head to people that need it and getting ambulances out to them when they need them, and a million other things.
Thank you. Through the chair, legislator Eastell. So one of the things that I'm getting a little hung up on is, so the county can't build housing, you know, where, how exactly or generally could we spend this in you know, it's a lot of money to allocate in every budget without knowing how we're going to spend it. You know, we have a lot of responsibilities, you know, excuse me, mandated things that we do have to spend money on. And I would hate to see, you know, us put ourselves in a corner where we didn't have enough money to fulfill those obligations because we've committed ourselves to taking fund balances and allocating those. And I understand that fund balance means we have more than we should have, right? But just generally,
yeah. May I?
Yeah, but let me just interject something because this may help you to answer his question and mine at the same time. So I'm on the same page as Mr. Cahill. I until in absence of a plan, I just see a bucket of money with no real goals. I know what the overarching goal is, but I don't know how we're getting there. So that's part of my issue as well. The other one is, which is, again, this is something we're working on, and I know it's going slow, but I want to make sure we get it right, is this excess fund balance isn't real. It doesn't exist. Our now don't quote me on it because I don't have exact numbers, but our liabilities exceed our excess of fund balance. So we owe more than what we have outstanding. We just have the authority to bond. So far, a lot of these projects haven't actually gone to the bonding phase. So we have the time now to be able to pull them back and say, instead, forget about investing money. I'm talking about projects we've already committed to do, spend our own money since we've got it sitting there doing sort of nothing, not pay an interest rate for a bond, and get the project completed with our own cash instead of just racking up debt, which is what we're doing. So I wanted to say that first because
I'm happy to let others speak.
Thank you, Chair. In reference to racking up debt, our debt service is at about $12 million. We do not have excessive debt in this county. The ability to bond allows us to both do capital construction, infrastructure, and all sorts of other projects, as well as provide everyday services that we need. So there's always a balance to strike, and I do get the desire to do PAYGO. It's something that I did in working for a public authority. When we had toll revenue, we were able to do PAYGO on certain items when your borrowing costs are high. But I'm not a person that in government, from government finance, that says all debt is bad debt. Debt allows us to provide services while continuing to function as a county. And as long as you keep it in check relative to your revenues and overall operating picture, it's not a negative. It's really not. And I think our bond ratings consistently affirm that in Ulster County. Thank you.
Legislator.
I'm happy to go to Planner Doyle.
And just to add on to what Chris said and to some of the points being made in terms of where you can spend it, there are a number of things in the housing realm that essentially are not bondable because there's no property interest. I mean, think of the things that you can do with respect to landlord improvements, rapid rehousing programs, anti-displacement programs, housing rehab programs. All of those things essentially are operating funds or funds out of something that we can't essentially bond because we don't have a property interest in. And I will tell you that if you think that there's going to be a problem spending money, if you ask the nonprofits that are involved in housing or others that are essentially looking at how the needs of housing, you won't have an issue with respect to how you're going to spend it. You're really going to have to start to think about what you want to do with it. And for me, that is, I think that you look at the big buckets is additional housing units, all right, making sure that happens, and then making sure that you're working on some of the things that Legislator Erner has been talking about, which is making sure that the people can stay in the housing, we don't have evictions that are illegal. Those are the other things. And then last but not least, I think is trying to make sure that you improve your housing stock, your overall quality of housing stock. And then we're currently working on a program called the Housing Smart Communities Initiative. And I will tell you that within that initiative, you're going to see things that have come out of that where we're going to ask for money. There's some really good templates out there in terms of how to spend this money. And we're currently putting those things together at the planning department for you folks to look at.
Yeah, I mean, it's much has been said. I'll just say from Health, Human Services, and Housing and the housing work groups, I do feel like we could spend the money. I don't know if $20 million is how much, but I definitely, to reiterate on what Dennis said, the conversations are happening right now with very tangible ideas and with the feeling of, well, where would this money come from? So I in response to that.
Thank you.
Again, a discussion of how much is another story, but definitely can be spent.
I mean, with all due respect to that point, though, I mean, we could all find, you know, we could all find a project that we care about that we could say, oh, I could definitely spend $20 million or $15 million or $10 million on that project. But, you know, part of it comes, you know, at what point are we focusing on, you know, what the county can or should be doing, and at what point are we doing the job of somebody else just because it's not being done?
Can I respond?
Well,
can I respond to that?
Yeah.
I mean, the committee's called Health, Human Services, and Housing. I mean, it's not just a project. It is a commitment that we were going to put into housing. So I wouldn't simplify it as saying we can all come up with a project to spend money. This is an approach and a policy of saying that we prioritize that and recognize that there are these needs and they should be responded to. And it will be far more than, I would assume, one project, but just sort of that response, just like we respond to mental health and we respond to physical health issues and we respond to criminal justice issues, is responding to housing issues.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, with all due respect, and I'm aware that the committee is Health, Human Services, and Housing. I was against that vocally and to the chair. In putting housing in that committee, I think it much more belonged in Legislator Cahill's committee. Still do.
Listen to all this with this money. I think what really needs to be done is a priority list. Your needs, your true needs for the county. And right now, I see your true needs in the county. There's a lot of people that are hurting and need help. So monies like this, I think, should first be looked at in those areas. Housing and things of that nature, and not and maybe not special projects or things like that.
So I think to Legislator Cahill's point, one of the things that this resolution intentionally does is it avoids planning in a granular way for individual allocations. That could change. I mean, if it was the will of the body to be more specific in a plan, we could do so. What I'm doing here is what I believe we would be doing by passing this is we would be setting out for the executive branch of government, who would actually be managing these programs, right? Who would actually be managing the public-private partnerships that would help get more units of housing built, to actually put together their components of the plan, and we can continue bringing proposals forward, but they would know that they have a warm audience in expecting to see proposals for that. So I'm hoping to create a dynamic where we're able to work very well with the county executive, particularly in this time of turnover of, you know, in leadership in the seat of county executive. I mean, we don't know what the policy initiatives of the next county executive are going to be. We're working through a budget that was put together by, you know, beginning with the former administration and is working through with the interim administration. But by laying out the framework, we know that the new administration is going to come in, and we're telling them from the legislative branch of government exactly what our expectations are. And I will just say, in terms of folks that, I don't know if the reference of you know, picking up the slack for folks that weren't, you know, doing what they were supposed to be doing in terms of housing, that could mean a lot of things. It could mean the zoning that should have been updated from lower municipalities that hasn't been updated. I think that the Housing Smart Initiative is a perfect way to be able to get those zoning rules updated, and this provides a great carrot for municipalities to be able to do that. So this facilitates a lot of intermunicipal collaboration that I think is lacking a carrot right now, and I think we could really make some progress there. And it will also point out that one of the most exciting projects that the county is involved in right now, it was announced last week, is going to have 500 units of housing, right? Is that correct? Over at iPark 87. Our interest in that, the reason that we were able to do what we can do to bring to bear 500 units of housing, which is exactly the type of work we need to be doing, is because the county has a unique interest in the foreclosure process. Were it not for our, you know, unique relationship with foreclosures, we would never be in a position to be able to do that. So we're going to have to think creatively. We're not going to be able to foreclose our way out of this, although we should probably be doing more of that. But this is an opportunity for us to be creative and, yes, to pick up some of the slack, because the private sector has not come through and created the housing that we need. We have an opportunity to put our finger on the scale, and to Legislator Fabiano's point, folks are hurting, and this would put the resources exactly where it needs to be.
Thanks. I mean, with all due respect, it is the towns and zoning and planning that I believe that this is partially picking up the slack for, but I think also, you know, it's not even picking up the slack, and I don't think it'll work to pick up the slack, because I don't believe that these municipalities haven't updated their planning and zoning policies and rules because they've lost their pens. I believe that they haven't updated it because they don't want to build more housing. And I don't know that allocating $20 million from the county or $50 million or $100 million is going to cause them to find those lost pens. I think that they don't want to build housing. I've seen it in my own town. I'm not on the planning board, and I've been opposed to a lot of the planning board's decisions. I mean, you know, they are much more interested in the status quo, and a lot of that comes from the NIMBY attitude, which you find in a lot of these towns. If I've heard it here once, I've heard it a million times. I heard it at the fire training center last week. Of course I support the fire training center, just not on that site. Government Operations Center. I heard about the fire training center when we heard from those fine folks on Leggett Road. Of course I support the fire training center, just not here. And, you know, you'll hear it all up and down, you know, 208 and 32 and 52 and all over the place. Of course I support housing, just not here. And I don't know how allocating all this money is going to solve that problem.
Thank you. Let's remember that this doesn't require building housing. There are a lot of things we can do with this money. In fact, this resolution, the next two the committee are considering, I see as a great synergy this month. We have the opportunity to advance into county law. We were talking about supporting existing housing stock that might be substandard in many cases and even uninhabitable at this point, or it might just need a tune-up so that it's ready for the next 50 years. And, you know, our population of our county has barely changed in the past census, despite we know many people are coming in. So where are the people leaving? Well, we know people are being forced out of our communities. So that's something we can spend this money on too, keeping people where they are right now. Thank you.
Yeah, so I just, for the record, our town does a really good job of supporting housing, town of Ulster, and I think they're all for that 500 units that I-Park 87 is going to plan in, you know, so I can see where there is a synergy for that, right?
Right.
And to Legislator Erner's point, you know, so, yeah, I mean, I don't disagree that if we have substandard housing, it should be updated so people can live a respectable life, right? But at what point does the property owner become responsible for that and instead of the government, right? The property owner's cashing checks every month without fail, right? And if he doesn't get his check, he kicks them out. And he could be reinvesting in his property. So my question is, why is that the county's responsibility to subsidize someone who is making money off of a substandard housing? You know, I mean, if you want to do something, condemn the housing and then fix it up, that's a different story. But, you know, I just am not for subsidizing for-profit people who could be doing this themselves, right?
May I respond to that, sir? Thank you, Legislator Cahill, through the chair. I totally agree. It's not our responsibility to pick up the pieces for a private landowner. The state government is actually currently our senator in the district I represent, Senator Hinchey, and Senator Skoufis, are co-sponsoring a measure that would enable municipalities to, it might just be cities right now, but why not push for towns to make some repairs that landlords are refusing to make. A tenant has to demonstrate whatever that might be, and then they can put that on the bill. They can put that as a tax lien or whatnot on the property owner. So I'm not saying we're taking the landlord's responsibility, far from it, but there are things that we can do to, like Legislator Uchitel said, create a carrot that then requires them to do the right thing, and they'll have to pay us back.
No problem with that. Paying back. Good luck.
Yeah, right. You were going to make a motion.
I don't know if I already did. I'll make a motion to postpone. Oh, I didn't get a second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
That's for 1 month.
For 1 month.
Yeah. Resolution 497, amending the 2022-2027 capital improvement program. Second. Discussion.
Yeah.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 498, approving execution of a contract for $221,430.60.
I'll
move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All
those
in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Opposed?
Yes.
Forthcoming resolutions are below. Comptroller Gallo, do you have any?
Yes. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Good evening, folks. I wanted to update you on sales tax. We collected $116 million of $143 budgeted, 81% this far. So far this year, we're up 7.16%. That is down from the last time I was here. I'm saying 9%. So just be aware, it keeps declining year over year. Occupancy tax is 93% of budgeted, so we've collected $2.66 million of $2.88 million budgeted, and that includes Q1, Q2, and Airbnb payments through August. I want to note that we're saying that we have extra money, but our net position is negative $65 million because of our other post-employment liabilities. So I urge you to keep that in mind, especially as you consider the executive's budget, which would add a huge new headcount to the headcount we adopted last year. You know, these positions aren't just operating costs in the current budget. They create liabilities going out for several decades. On the audit front, we have an audit on the fraudulent unemployment claims filed in the name of Ulster County employees during the pandemic. That'll be going to management for comment next week and coming out shortly. Our real property tax audit is ongoing. And last week, we issued a historical sales tax report. If current trends hold, we estimate that we could close out with about $1 million less than what the executive estimated in their budget presentation last week, so $166 million. I just urge caution that I could be coming here a month from now and telling you it's actually $2 million or $3 million off. Highlights from the sales tax report that I just want to bring to your attention are that the Great Recession caused an 8% decline in sales tax, so put that in the back of your mind. We also just saw a decline of 1.5% in 2013 from the political impasse over that 1%. That extra 1%, you know, sales tax rate. This is not in the report, but we estimate that that impasse cost Ulster County taxpayers $3 million. We saw a 21.65% increase in sales tax revenues in 2021. So a huge, unprecedented jump in sales tax revenues. The administration is estimating another 7%, over 7% increase this year. So we'll see where that goes. But as you guys look to budget, I just wanted to share that information with you. Inflation cuts both ways because it increases sales tax revenue, but it also depresses.
Thank you.
So happy to answer any questions you have. And I wanted to share that with you.
May I have anything for Trevor? No,
thank you.
Adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you.